The scripture is very familiar, John 14, a beautiful passage of Jesus' words to his disciples. This was in the upper room. The last verses of this chapter are, "Arise, let us go hence." And then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so this is spoken to the disciples right after Jesus celebrated the sacrament of the Holy Supper. Jesus speaks to his disciples and to us and says some wonderful things, teaches us some wonderful teaching about the Holy Spirit in this chapter and in the subsequent chapters as well. John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say that I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Arise now, let us leave." So far the reading of John 14. And now we go to the Heidelberg Catechism, to the Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, He, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, He has been given to me personally so that by true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. So far, the reading of the Word and our confession based upon that Word. Before we open these wonderful truths of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we look at the great and glorious person and work of the Holy Spirit, that You will open our minds, our hearts, our understanding, and that we may truly experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, you all know what an orphan is. In some of the countries in the third world, like Uganda and South Africa and other African countries, there are huge orphanages. Their parents died of AIDS, probably. And so these children are being cared for in an orphanage. Now, an orphanage is not a very happy place. These children are without father or mother, and they're orphans. It's a terrible thing. And it is wonderful when some of these orphans are adopted by a wonderful Christian family. That is a good thing. When you think of that child, what a wonderful blessing it is to be brought up in a home where there is love and where there is Christ and His Spirit, and these children are then brought up in that kind of environment. That's a wonderful blessing. Jesus said to the disciples, I am not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you. He is going to leave. We know that. His death was imminent. Actually, when He spoke John 14, it was right after Judas had betrayed Him, and it was just before His trial, His arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, and His trial and His crucifixion, just before that. This was spoken in John 14. And then there was the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the burial, and then His resurrection. And then 40 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus did leave them physically. When He ascended into heaven, He left them. And the angel said to the disciples, this same Jesus whom you see going into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go. So Jesus said, I am leaving you, but I am not going to leave you as orphans. I am not going to leave you alone. I am coming back to you. And how did Jesus come back to them? Well, He came back to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. The first question I have asked here is, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. Now, there are those who like to think sometimes of the Holy Spirit as just a power or a force, but the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person who can be grieved, who can be resisted. The Holy Spirit is a person to whom Ananias lied. He lied not to God, not to man, but to the Holy Spirit. Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person just like the Father is a person and the Son is a person and the Holy Spirit is a person. Sometimes you hear an expression like the Spirit of 76. of 1976 or of 1770. The Spirit. And it's kind of a feeling, kind of a, oh, I don't know what you would say. It's a, you hear the expression school spirit, or a patriotic spirit, or something like that. And then some people think that the Holy Spirit is like that. No, the Holy Spirit is not like that. The Holy Spirit is a unique person of the Holy Trinity who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, let me use two words that help me, and I hope help you understand who He is. The Holy Spirit is a completer, and a connector. The Holy Spirit is a completer and a connector. The Holy Spirit completed the work of creation. You read about that. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 2, and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was over the deep. And then you read this, the Spirit of God brooded over the waters. The Holy Spirit injected life into this entire cosmos. He injected life into it. The Holy Spirit is the completer. He completed the life in creation. We're going to sing by and by as our doxology, actually, from Psalm 104, which says, Thy Spirit, O God, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed, the fruit and fruitful the ground. That idea that the Holy Spirit gives life was picked up by the Nicene Creed in 325 A.D. When the Nicene Creed was written, it spoke about the Father and the Son, and then the third point of the Nicene Creed is, and I believe in the Holy Spirit of God, who is the Lord and giver of life. All of life comes from the Holy Spirit. All of life does. The earth is renewed by the Holy Spirit. Springtime comes because the Holy Spirit is active in nature. When a couple receives a child, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives life. We see that, of course, in the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, You will have a son, and you will call His name Jesus. He will be great, and He will sit upon the throne of His father David, and of His kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said, How will this be? I do not have a husband. How is that possible? And then the angel said, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, so that the holy thing that is born of you will be called the Son of God. You recall we saw that before Christmas. The Holy Spirit is the one who gave Mary that child. The Holy Spirit was the Lord and giver of life to Jesus. Human nature. And the Holy Spirit gives life whenever you and your husband or your husband and your wife, when you receive the news that you are expecting a child, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that made that happen. It is a work of God. That is one reason why abortion is such a heinous sin. Because it is destroying something which God created. We are created in the image of God. God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living spirit, a living soul. And do you know what that breath of life is? That's the Holy Spirit. He is the breath of God. It is the Holy Spirit who is described by Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and by the breath of His mouth the host of them. At Psalm 33, verse 6 and verse 9. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. He gave life in creation. He gave life in the creation of man. He gives life to your child sitting on your lap. That life in her is from the Lord. It's from His Spirit. He is the Lord and giver of life. He is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who completes the work of the Father and the Son. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and He completes their work. And He brings it about. He is the executive of the Trinity. He's the executive. He's the one who applies it, who makes it work. That's an amazing thing. How God in His great wisdom has so arranged it. I'm sure you have heard this before, that the Father thought creation and redemption. He planned it. He thought it. The Son bought it. He bought our redemption with His own blood. And the Holy Spirit fraught it or brought it. He's the one who applies it. The work of salvation was like a great act of the Father and the Son. It was completed. Jesus said it is finished. It is totally completed. And then it is the Holy Spirit who takes that salvation and gives it to us. He opens our hearts to receive it. He brings it to us. He is the great connector. So He's the completer and He's the connector. He connects us to the Father. He connects us to the Son. And the Holy Spirit does it through His Word, through prayer, through the faith which He works in our hearts, through the application of His Word and preaching. The Holy Spirit is active all the time. The Holy Spirit is present here right now in this worship service, in this building. The Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is using me. He is using me. I am an instrument in His hand. He is using me to bring this truth to you. He is the source of truth. He is the source of truth. And this is what He inspired. This book, this Word. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. This Word is inspired of God. This Word is God-breathed. Peter says, holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So He's the source of truth. We would not even know what the truth of God was if it weren't for the Holy Spirit who gave it to us. So He's the source of truth. He's the agent of truth. And He's the defender of truth. All this comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, someone may ask, how can I explain this to another person? How can I explain this to another person? How can I share the gospel with one of my fellow classmates? In fact, one of our boys asked me that. He said, could you preach a sermon on that? And do you know, I certainly can and will, but do you know what? In a certain sense, every sermon is about that. This sermon is about that. How can we communicate the gospel to another person? Is it because we're clever? Is it because we're smart? Is it because we have charm that we can get another person to believe in Jesus? No. The Lord uses us. He uses all of our gifts and talents. He uses all that which He gave us in the first place. But He opens our mouth and He opens the heart of the person to whom we're talking. And we have got to begin the whole process with prayer. Lord, make me a blessing. I knew a businessman in Holland, Michigan, who was a very successful businessman and had salesmen coming over to his store regularly, and then he'd take them out to lunch. And he told me that when he would go out to lunch with a salesman, he really had no idea where the salesman was spiritually. He didn't really know a whole lot about the particular salesman. And he had a lot of salesmen that came into this big establishment. But he said to me, when I sat down and the meal was brought, he would say, excuse me a minute, because I would like to say a blessing before we eat. So he would pray. He would pray silently, actually. But one of his petitions would always be, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, will you open a door into this salesman's heart so that I will be able to give an answer to him if he asks a reason for the hope I have? Or if he doesn't ask any question, that I may have the wisdom and that you will guide me to be able to share with him the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which has transformed my life and transformed my family, and that I can share this with him. And he said to me, do you know that the Lord answered that prayer in many wonderful ways without me trying to manipulate? It just happened. And he witnessed to these salesmen, and it was a wonderful thing. It was just a wonderful experience as they had lunch together. You see, it's sharing Christ. How does that occur? Who is the connector between that person and you and the Lord? Who's the connector? Who connects the dots between those three? The person, you, and the Lord. Who connects the dots? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who opens the heart of that person. You read of this, of course, in the Bible. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. It's a marvelous text. Paul is in the town of Philippi. And he goes to the riverside where there are believers having prayer. And he comes and joins them, and he's with Luke And he's with Timothy and with Silas, the four of them, and they go to this riverside prayer meeting. And he begins to speak to them. And you know what you read in Acts 16, verse 14? And the Holy Spirit opened the heart of Lydia to give heed to the things which Paul spoke. And she was converted. You see, who's the connector? It's the Holy Spirit who connects that person with Paul, with the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that puts it together. That's a wonderful blessing. So you see, the Holy Spirit is the connector in evangelism. We would be helpless. A missionary who goes out, or you who want to share the gospel with somebody, you and I would be helpless without the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? Have you ever talked to a person who was deaf? I'm sure you have. You know, they don't get it. They don't get it. You've got to talk very loud or they don't even know what you're talking about. They don't get it. Well, that's the way it is with someone without the Holy Spirit. If they don't have the Holy Spirit in their hearts, they don't get it. They don't get it. It doesn't add up. Paul says this in just so many words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And he says this. He says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. He cannot. Because they are spiritually discerned. So you see, it's the Holy Spirit that's the connector. The Holy Spirit has to open the heart of the person to receive Jesus Christ. And that opening of the heart is called regeneration. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, just as great a miracle as the creation of this world out of nothing. It's as great a miracle as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The opening up of a dead heart is a miracle of grace. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you did He make alive when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You see, that's the natural state of man. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And it is only the Spirit of God that can give them life. That's regeneration. He is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit who is the source of truth, the agency of truth, the defender of truth. And who sends Him? The Father sends Him in Jesus' name. And Jesus sends Him from the Father. So He proceeds from the Father and the Son. So He's the connector between the Father, the Son, and us. The Holy Spirit connects them. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. How thankful we have to be for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There would be, shall I tell you something? If it weren't for the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't even be a church. There wouldn't be a church without the Holy Spirit. There wouldn't be. There would be no spiritual life at all if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life in every sense. And He proceeds from the Father and the Son. What does He do? He leads me into all the truth. He leads me. And you know how He does it? By drawing us to this Word. And the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to read the Word. Do you have the Holy Spirit? That's a question which Paul asked people in the town of Ephesus. And that is quite an amazing statement. It's an amazing question, and there was an amazing answer to that question. Here, this is Acts 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" Their answer was, "John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. Now that was a Pentecost at Ephesus. That was a Pentecost at Ephesus. There's a Pentecost in Jerusalem, Acts 2. There was a Pentecost at Cornelius' house, Acts 10. And there's a Pentecost in Ephesus in Acts 19. All of these three things are Pentecosts. The coming of the Spirit. So there were people who only heard the baptism of John and never really heard about the Holy Spirit until Paul comes and explains to them that Jesus came, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven and sent forth the Holy Spirit. And they said, "Whoa, that's wonderful!" And they received the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, how does He guide us into all the truth? Well, He takes this word, which is a word on pages, black on white, and it's wonderful that we've got it on black on white, but it cannot stay there. It's got to get in our heart. Remember Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Holy Spirit is the connector of this word to us, and He writes it upon the tablet of our heart. The Holy Spirit opens our heart to understand it, and He brings it to our memory. He brings it to our mind. He controls our conscience through this word that He writes on our hearts. Moms and dads, you've got little children, and your little children are precious to you, and you want nothing more for your children, nothing more than that they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they walk in His ways. And when they get older, that they marry someone who has the same faith. That's what you want. So that they can raise another generation of children who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do you know, all the money in the world isn't going to do that. But who will do that is the Holy Spirit. You've got to pray, and I know you do. I don't say you've got to in the sense that you don't. Of course you do. I know you do. You pray for your children every single day. I know you do. We are completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to apply this word to their hearts, to connect them to Jesus. to open their minds to receive the Lord Jesus. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the greatest thing that He does. He regenerates us. He sanctifies us. Now that sanctification is a long process. It's a process that takes many years before we're fully sanctified. Do you know that we are not going to be fully sanctified until we're glorified? That is, until we die and go to heaven. And who prepares us for that? It's the Holy Spirit. The last verse of the Bible, or toward the very last part of the Bible, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come." The Spirit and the Bride. Who's the Bride? The Bride is the Church. Who is the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in the Church says to all people, "Come." Some will, some won't. Who will? Who will come? Who will respond to the gospel? I'll tell you who will come. Jesus gives us the answer to that in John 6:44. Jesus says, "No one comes unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him." No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. How does the Father draw somebody to Jesus? By His Spirit. Spirit, the Spirit draws us. Now, that word "draw" is fascinating because it's found in various parts of the Bible. It's found in the Old Testament too. Jeremiah 31, "With everlasting love, He loved us, and with loving kindness He draws us." And that 6:44 of John 2, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." That word "draw." In the Greek language, it is the word that's spelled L-U-O. Luo. That's the word to draw. If you look in a dictionary of Greek words, and I've got about 7 volumes of a dictionary. It's called the Theological Word Book of the New Testament. It's all the words. And it gives the usage of those words, not only in the Bible, but also in classical Greek, which was the language of Homer and Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. That was their language. They developed it in the 4th century B.C. In classical Greek, the word luo, to draw, has a usage, one usage. There are other usages too, many other uses, but one of them is magnetism. Magnetism. Now you know what a magnet is. A magnet draws, and it repels. Does both. If you have a north pole of a magnet, it will draw the south pole of iron. A magnet is a powerful thing. A magnet is the secret of a motor. A magnet is the reason why a compass works. Because there is a magnetic field around the earth. The Greeks knew about magnetism. It's an amazing thing what a magnet is. The dairymen used to put magnets in the stomachs of a cow. Why? I've got some of those magnets at home because my son did. Why do they put magnets in the stomach of a cow? Because they fed the cow hay, and the hay bales were held together by wire. And when they would loosen the hay, they would have to clip the wire. And sometimes little pieces of wire would be in the hay, and a cow didn't know the difference, and it would eat the hay, and the wire would come into his stomach, and there were occasions in which wire would penetrate the stomach wall and kill the cow. And so the dairyman said, "Hey, we've got to correct this." And so I wish I had one with me. It's just an entry. It's a round. It's like a little cylinder, and it's about yay long, and it's a little cylinder. And they put it down a cow's mouth, and it sits in their stomach. Cow's got more than one stomach, but it sits in one of them. And it attaches all those pieces of wire so they don't hurt the cow. All right. Now go back to Luo in John 6:44 and Jeremiah 31. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." How does the Father draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ? By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the magnet. The Holy Spirit draws. One of the great doctrines of Calvinism spells TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. That irresistible grace is the magnetism of the Holy Spirit. It is irresistible. It's irresistible. When the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and the Lord appeared to him, that was an irresistible power that laid hold of Paul. That's the Holy Spirit. And that is what you and I depend on with our children. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of them, opens their heart. And you and me, we have to be filled with the Spirit all the time. And the Holy Spirit gets us ready for heaven. He gets us ready. So that in that hour of death, we don't have to be afraid, because the Spirit witnesses with our spirits, "You are my child." Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. "You are my child. I have prepared a place for you. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." It's the Holy Spirit that gets us ready for that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So, this is what we believe. The Holy Spirit, who is God, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who connects us to all the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and prepares us so that we can see Him face to face and tell the story, "Saved by grace." And everybody said, "Amen." Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. What a blessing. What a great gift you gave, O Lord, in giving the Holy Spirit. Dwell in me, O blessed Spirit. How I need Thy help divine. in the way of life eternal. Keep, oh, keep this heart of mine. Lord, bless us this day. Thank you for the church, which is the work of the Spirit, and our bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit, witness with our spirits that we are your children. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.